I mean, Jack, you were dating people while still living with your parents for a fair chunk of time.
Yeah,
what did
I
you
always
do?
Used to say my analogy for having sex whilst I was living in my parents' house was that it was always like arriving late at the theatre and trying to find your seat. It was a lot of shuffling, a bit of shushing, a pause, and then from somewhere in the darkness, just a whispered, "I'm sorry."
I'm sorry.
Which it was. It was just so unromantic.
There's a Canadian comedian, Tom Stade, who has a joke about that, having sex with your spouse when you have small children, and then it sounds very dark, like some type of like hostage situation where he's like, "Shh, if you wake them up, I'll fucking kill you."
Like, yeah, I remember that bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ, Catherine Ryan, Jack Whitehall and Hannah Dickinson, welcome to Bad Dates. Hello.
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 Thank you for having us.
What's going
That's
on?
Always the worst bit, because I always say hello to everyone at the same time and no one wants to be that cunt that jumps in first. But I'm very, very, very,
that
very, very happy to have you here. Hannah, you and I are not super familiar with each other, but Jack and Catherine, I've known you pretty much our whole careers. I just kind of want to first get into, before we get into your stories, what each of you feel about the world of dating. Catherine, I'm going to start with you. How did you enjoy dating? Did you enjoy it? Because I feel like you must be an amazing date. One of my great life regrets is never having dated you, because I feel like you'd be so fun.
What am I like to date? Probably terrible, because I used to date these massive losers who would feel badly about themselves because they were with me and I was such an angel. I really think I'm perfect. I'm really easy to get along with. I pay for everything. I don't like to fight. I communicate very clearly. I articulate myself for a living. I usually like to have sex with anyone who's emptying the dishwasher. Like, I'm a really fun person to date, but they didn't have fun with me because I didn't like them taking drugs or cheating on me or lying or doing all that scoundrel behavior. But
it's very
I don't,
stiff of you.
Yeah. So I don't date strangers. That's the only thing. So I'm captivated by this American culture of dating. I think it's cool.
The dishwasher thing is real. James, the other day, we were just finishing up a holiday and I was in the pool. And so that I could stay in the pool longer, he packed all of my stuff up, packed my bags. And he was in there doing that. And I was like, that is the sauciest thing I have ever seen. Like, I have never felt such like a physical wave of like, oh my God, he is flirting with me so hard right now. Why is that so attractive?
I find that very attractive. Anyone that can, you know, load a dishwasher or pack a bag really efficiently, like seeing someone that's capable, because I'm incapable of doing that.
Right.
And watching someone like tetrasize a dishwasher, I think is like, I'm stood there and in awe.
Rock hard.
Yeah. I was about to say that someone that's amazing at it is my mother, but that's a rather Freudian thing to bring into this podcast at this juncture. But I think it's definitely something that attracted my mom and dad to each other.
I was going to say that, Jack, that I've met your mother and I feel that Hillary Whitehall is one of the women that I most admire. Her choice of power suit alone.
Yes.
I mean, Jack, I got to fall in love with your mother around the same time that I became friends with you, because she was just so heavily involved in your life that it was like, if you're friends with Jack, you're friends with Hillary.
Yeah.
Jack, when we were first hanging out, because we just kept on going out for dinner all the time, which when you're 22 is like, I was like 23, you were 22.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was confusing. I was like, are these dates? I don't think they're dates. And it was confirmed not to be a date when you started farting in my handbag regularly. It became clear.
I think.
Well, hang on. I think these were dates. Let's circle back to the dinners.
That's what I was going to say. I hate that. That's the worst.
What do you mean?
I just feel like everyone I have dated, I found out they weren't dates like 8 dates in. They're like, no, we're just going to dinner and having sex.
I don't think either of us knew what was going on. Like, we were also like such eunuchs at that age.
Yeah.
Don't you agree, Jack? Like, neither of us knew. And also, we were so grateful to meet a friend because we were both so weird that I think we both found this industry quite alienating. And so I think we just wanted to hang out all the time. But I think for other people around us, it was probably more confusing than for us. We just kept farting at each other.
Yeah. the farting is significant, though.
It it was significant.
Yeah.
We'd be eating. It was always like some sort of a form of an itsu restaurant, which is like a sort of a sushi restaurant in Britain. But he just suddenly, completely seriously, with no sense of irony, be like, get up immediately and go and stand in the corner. Go and stand in the corner right now. And it's because he just farted. And I was always like, why do I have to leave? Surely you, as the perpetrator, should leave.
I should definitely. That was, but I think I then changed my habits and realised that that was possibly quite a deterrent to not just ladies, but anyone in your life. And so then I ceased farting in front of any potential date. But then I do remember I had a very significant fart that happened in my life after the breakup of my like first kind of long-term relationship, and I hadn't heard her fart for 6 years, and then we broke up, but we were sort of still living in the same house for like 3 months, and then she farted in front of me for the first time in 6 years, and it was a fart that had been held, well, I don't think it had been held in for 6 years. I think she had probably been farting elsewhere, just not in my presence. And I remember it being like this really crushing moment, because it was the moment that I realized that the relationship was genuinely over, and I remember crying. Like, not in front of her, but I excused myself from the room, and I was like, if she's fired in front of me, then it's definitely over. And I just had a little sob in the loo on my own, and it was the fart that broke my heart.
Oh my God.
It's so sad.
So Hannah, what would you say you feel about the dating world?
I hate it, but I also have herpes, and I'm also sober. Mm-hmm. So it's like, those two things are tough going into it. And I do stand up, which as a woman, it's like not that attractive, because I talk about
stand up is
shit,
the so worst like, of those. Yeah.
Is that because they're afraid you're going to talk about them on stage?
Probably. And probably because I do. Yeah.
Have you always been sober dating?
No, I got sober 2 years ago.
Okay. I've always been sober dating, so I've never, ever, ever had an inebriated shag or fingering. Mm. And that is...
Well, no one's fingering anymore.
Well, some people are fingering.
I'm getting fingered out here.
Yeah.
Wow. In America, we're getting fingered.
Well, thank you.
Plus, I'm dating in LA and every guy's on a diet, so no one's eating pussy either. Yeah. They're just like, straight
up. Did you say every guy's on a diet, so nobody's eating pussy?
It feels that way. I don't like to bother people, so I'm like, all right, do whatever you want. Bad dates.
If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Jack, it's time for teppanyaki dinner. Also, do you just take all of your girls to Asian restaurants?
Oh, it was a date.
No, I'm joking.
This story involves no farting at all.
Okay.
This was my first date back, having come out of the 6 year relationship.
The one that ended with the sad small fart.
With the sad small fart. Mm-hmm. And so it was I was sort of released back out into the wild, and this was my first date. And so I was quite kind of nervous. I'd sort of forgotten how to do it. And I booked a teppanyaki restaurant in Kensington, and I arrived with my date, who I'd been set up with by a friend, and we were led to a table right in the middle of the room, which I was not particularly keen on if I'm on a date. Subsequently, I'm always like to sort of be tucked away in the corner, away from prying eyes. It was a very light room as well, so I felt very exposed and on show in the middle of this room. And I started, I think I did a big dick swinging red wine order, ordered like some ridiculous bottle of wine because I thought that would be some kind of a flex, and then ordered the special, which was a sizzling teppanyaki beef plate. Subsequently it turned out that she was a vegan, so that was probably not a great thing to order with her there, but I was sort of committed already and was really, I don't know why, but
wait, so had you started this dinner with like, allow me, right?
Yeah, I was like, we'll get the most expensive wine, we're gonna the special, the teppanyaki beef plate, and then she was like, oh, I'm not gonna go anywhere near that because I'm a vegan. I was like, oh great, and I don't really drink red wine, so I thought, great, I'm drinking that on my own as well. And then they brought over the teppanyaki beef plate and put it down in the middle of the table and had like the sort of sizzling hot plate, which was there to cook the beef on. And then the waiter came over with the red wine and started pouring the red wine. And as he poured the red wine, he accidentally knocked over my glass of red wine, which then smashed onto the sizzling hot plate and then sprayed up boiling hot red wine into my face and eyes and all over her as well. I screamed. I was like not shout, like a proper like scream.
No, do
and
it.
Everyone
do it.
In, I was do like, it. Ah! Step away. And the fizzing, and I'm like, I couldn't see because it was in my eyes. I was wearing a white shirt as well, completely covered in the white shirt.
Wait, you're in the middle of the restaurant. So in the middle of the restaurant, everyone is now,
like, I feel everyone's gaze on me and they're all looking, some of them are getting out their camera phones and I'm there. And then the Britishness kicks in as well. I'm apologizing, like it's my fault, and telling the waiter it's absolutely fine. I wanted, you know, to taste the wine that way. It's always good to get the full effect of the wine when you can have it through your eyes and face and feel it through the pores of your skin as well. And then it got to right to the end of the meal, I remember, and the bill came and they'd still charged me for everything, the wine, the service, everything. And I was like, I was a bit surprised, but I didn't want to make a scene. He had literally smashed a bottle of red wine into my face. I was like, at the very least, maybe that wine's coming off the bill. But it didn't. And so I just signed and paid the bill and then was on the way out. My date went to the toilet, presumably to text her friend and say, give me an excuse to get the hell out of here. And then the maitre d' was like,
and what was the excuse? What was the excuse?
Well, no, she said, was everything okay with your meal? And I looked down at my shirt, which was like blood spattered. I looked like Carrie. And I said, well, I mean, it was fine, but I mean, your waiter did smash a glass of boiling red wine into my face and all over my clothes. And I think if that happens in the future, it might be pertinent to omit that from the bill. And she was like, oh, I'm so sorry. Please let me take that off. I was like, no, I wasn't saying I want it taken off the bill. I'm more than happy to pay for it, but I just think if it happens again,
as well.
I don't want to look cheap. Exactly. Yeah.
And you've already done the scream.
No, I insist, like, let me take it off the bill. I said, like, no, you can't take it off the bill. She said, give me your credit card. Literally, my date then walked back out to see me having a sort of tug of war with the bill and my credit card. I don't want to pay for it. Please don't make me pay for it. And then I like managed to rip the bill off her and run, literally bolting out of the restaurant to avoid the awkward situation. And I just handled it completely wrong and was so sort of self-conscious and embarrassed and just, it was horrendous.
How much was the bottle of wine?
£100 plus.
I know what's happening here, by the way. I know exactly what's happening, Jack.
Go on, what's
you
happening?
You are a skilled entertainer. I know that you're very suave with the ladies. There is an opening for the Late Late Show, and this is the antithesis of a James Corden restaurant story. And you are positioning yourself here now on this podcast as a man of the people. He says, you're going to bring my wife the wrong omelet? No problem. You can smash a boiling bottle of wine in my face. I will pay you for it and say thank you. And this is a talk show host that I think the nation can get behind. You're a great guy. And I like what you've done here.
We'll use this as the clip. Don't worry, Jack. We're going to push you as far as we can.
I am genuinely a horrendous complainer. And I think that is part of the issue with me in a date situation or a restaurant situation.
As in, you're horrendous at complaining.
I'm horrendous at complaining. Yeah. Like, we had, I took Roxy for dinner, and Roxy is a pescatarian. And we told the waiter before that she was pescatarian. And one of the dishes they brought her had foie gras on it, which is... I mean, that's not a great one to bring someone that is a pescatarian. And so...
You made Roxy eat it.
No, I didn't make her eat it, but I was like, it's just fine. I'll just don't say anything. Just leave it there. I'll subtly eat it off your plate and we'll be fine. Like, I think if someone gives you foie gras against your will, you're very within your rights to say something. But even in that situation, I couldn't bring myself to... I've also realised
All
my dates, I'm ordering £100 bottles of red wine and eating foie gras. I think maybe I'm losing my appeal as the man of the people.
No. Because of your accent, people assume you're a tosser from the second you open your mouth anyway. Okay. Don't worry.
Thank you very much.
I also worked at a restaurant where, and it was a kind of big chain restaurant where the waiters would come back and report if someone had been rude or like off or difficult. And the chefs would put their hands down their pants and rub their hands around a bit and then just flick or put their hand in the food. There was also a period of waiters thinking it was really funny to store up cum and put it in the carbonara. So I never ate at work, even though that was supposed to be a perk, obviously.
Which restaurant?
But I can't say because it's big chain and I'll get sued.
Oh my God.
Well, thank you for that story. I'm very glad to see that you have not been permanently blinded by that teppanyaki and wine. And I'm glad you've lived to see another day. We'll be right back. Bad dates. As a business owner, I can tell you from experience that shipping can make or break a sale. Now, as your business grows, maybe you should use ShipStation because they can help optimize how you ship your orders so you can stay competitive while you scale up. Whether you're shipping 100 packages a month or thousands, ShipStation lets you automate routine shipping tasks and easy handle returns. They have effortless integration everywhere you could possibly think of selling online, including Amazon, Walmart, Shopify, and more. And you'll be able to manage orders, print labels, compare rates, optimize every shipment, and automate delivery notifications in one simple dashboard. Be sure to check out their industry-leading discounted rates from USPS, UPS, DHL, and Global Post, with discounts up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And over 130,000 companies have already grown their e-commerce businesses with ShipStation, and 98% of companies that stick with ShipStation for a year become customers for life. So optimize and keep up your momentum for growth with ShipStation. Use the promo code BADDATES today at ShipStation.com to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, promo code BADDATES.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. If you're looking to set some boundaries between friends or family, therapy can help. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself so you don't feel drained. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/baddates today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/baddates.
Bad dates. And we're back. Catherine, your story is called Who Do You Think You Are?
Yes. So I was invited to do this BBC Ancestry show that Jack has also been on, and it's called Who Do You Think You Are? So to do this program, they don't tell you where you're going to go. All they do is tell you where you're going to begin because they want to get your natural surprised reaction on camera. I explained to them that Botox ship has sailed, but I was excited to sign up for the show. One thing that you never expect on Who Do You Think You Are is to hook up, because you're searching your ancestry, like everyone's family, no one's packing condoms for that flight. So I go home totally single, always wanting to be single. And my sister begged me to go to the pub that night because we didn't know how long I'd be in town for in the town I grew up in. So I went out with her to the pub and in walks my high school boyfriend. He will always be my first love. He will always be the second dude I lost my virginity to. Someone I always really had feelings for. Someone normal that I dated before I started dating all these comedian losers and musicians and all that jazz. And so I found that very humbling. And he looked really sexy, which is great. When you used to have sex with someone when they were a teenager, and then you see them in their late 30s and you think they're hotter than they were when they're a teenager, mm-hmm. that's what you want. Mm-hmm. So right away I said to myself, great, Catherine, like you don't fancy teenagers. You find this man hotter, like older, a bit wrinkled, a bit gray. Yeah. It's such a relief, right? Mm-hmm. We can't all do that test on ourselves, no. but I was like, oh, he's really fit. And then I was drinking with my sister, of course. So I said, I'm going to bang him for a laugh, just for a laugh, because when are you going to see your high school boyfriend in a pub? And that's why everyone loves Canadian girls too, because we'll just bang you for a laugh. Like British mm-hmm. girls, karaoke, pub quiz, I'll suck your dick at my mom's house while I'm in town for 24 hours. So I brought him back to my mom's house and we had this wild night where I never have one night stands, never, but I felt like this didn't count because he was my high school boyfriend. So I thought it was just really funny. All our friends, our school friends will get a laugh out of it, whatever. And because I'd been drinking, I was uncharacteristically like vocal. I know that I was being loud.
During sex,
I was being loud. I don't remember what I was saying. But I know
you were saying words and not just moaning. You actually delivering like big sentences.
I think doing bits.
Uh-oh.
I think I was doing bits.
Bits. Yeah. Go on.
I was doing Jack Whitehall's material. I didn't know what I was saying.
That'll kill the mood. Stop talking about Jack Whitehall's dad.
Yeah.
I always talk about your dad during sex. So, the bed in my childhood bedroom was squeaky. Like I was making noise. I was definitely like moaning. I was definitely just being obnoxious. I'm not normally that way. But my mom was not in town, so it was fine. She and her husband were out of town. I had the house to myself. I was staying there for the night. And then in the morning, I made my ex-boyfriend leave. I was like, you have to get out of here. Like, I never do this. I'm so embarrassed. I have to film today. I'm usually very responsible. You have to go. So he left. And I had like a little mini panic attack on the end of the bed. And I thought, pull yourself together, Catherine, you whore. Get downstairs, make a cup of coffee. Like, you have to go film. So I go into my mother's kitchen to make a pot of coffee. And into this kitchen walks her husband's brother, who is a very lovely man. He's like 50 years old, single computer systems analyst, exactly the kind of guy who would be listening. I had forgotten that he is currently living with my mother and her husband, and he had been home the whole night. And he was in the next bedroom. Oh. My childhood home is very small. Yeah, very thin walls. And I could tell by the look on his face, like he had heard absolutely everything. He would have thought I was performing for him. I was that loud in such a small house. And I just was like, oh my God. And I was taken back to high school straight away. And I just looked at him. I couldn't speak. I thought I was going to be sick. I just looked at him and I was like, with my eyes, I tried to convey, like, you better not tell my mom about this, Pete. You better shut the fuck up about anything that you heard. Like, you get out of here, Pete. And Pete is terrified of me at the best of times. So he ran off to work. And then I filmed the rest of the show. We had a great time filming it. I flew back to the UK and my ex-boyfriend was really great, like texted me right away. He was really complimentary about the night. He's like, oh, I've missed you all these years. It's been so good to see what you're doing, da, 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 da. And then we started a relationship. So, you know, that first week I was just in love. I couldn't believe I was back where, you know, with the man I always thought I would marry, my high school boyfriend. I loved him so much. We were chatting and chatting. And I have a way of telling everybody everything. I just, you know, I can't help it. So I was invited on the Jonathan Ross show. It's a chat show in the UK. And he asked me what I've been up to all week. And I said, well, I flew home and I banged my high school boyfriend at my mom's house for a laugh. And then we talked about that the whole interview, because why not? Jonathan's my friend. So the next morning I get a phone call from my mom. And I had forgotten that they can access British television in Canada now. Oh, I always thought that everything I do in the UK is like a secret. But I always forget that, of course, my mom can watch it. So I thought that she was going to be cross about me shagging at her house. But instead, I picked up the phone. I saw her name and I kind of panicked and I just said, hello. And she said, Catherine, did you threaten Pete? And I was like, what? No, I would never. I don't understand. Like,
where these accusations are coming from. What do you mean? And she goes, well, Catherine, last night I sat down with my husband and Pete to enjoy the Jonathan Ross show. And you say that while you were home, you banged Bobby, your high school boyfriend, at my house for a laugh. Well, of course, Pete was in the house. Pete was home all night and he was watching the program with us. So I turned to him and I said, Pete, what was she on about? Did you hear anything? Did you see anyone come in? Tell us. What do you know, Pete? It's all right. You can tell us. We're very open in our family. We like to have a laugh. And she said, Pete didn't say a word, Catherine. The whole program, yes, he stared, Pete, straight ahead,
oh,
sweating.
Oh, my,
yeah,
God.
He would not say a word, Catherine. And I need to know, like, don't lie to me. Did you threaten our Pete? Because Pete, you know. And I said, no, but I thought Pete, that day, I didn't realize. I always thought Pete was kind of a nerd, like, you know, he's 50. He lives with my parents. But I was like, what a cool guy. Like, Pete's my bro.
Pete's
now.
A legend. Round of applause, Pete, for Pete. Round of applause for Pete.
By the way, that sounds like the best episode of Gogglebox ever. Just sat there watching that story being told.
I know.
And the head's just turning to Pete.
They did. They're like, Pete, go on. And my mom can be very intimidating.
Oh, my God.
But Pete never said a word. And he's my husband now. I married, not Pete, but my high school boyfriend 6 months later. And I've asked Pete. I've been like, oh, come on, Pete. It's Christmas. It's a laugh. Tell me what you heard. Like, what was I saying? I want to know. We're married now. It's funny. Like, what happened? We don't remember. And Pete won't even tell me.
Pete is a great man.
We call it Pete TSD that he's got.
Yeah.
He won't talk about it.
Say, oh, my God.
Yeah.
It is so uncomfortable listening to people have sex or knowing that, yeah, anyone's like, because I've had flatmates my whole life. I've never, ever, ever lived without flatmates. And so I have been having sex like a mime my entire sexual life, because there's just that, even though we know it's so normal or so natural, there's just nothing more uncomfortable.
A few months ago, I heard my neighbor having sex, and it like gave me a panic attack, because I was like, holy shit, like if I can hear her having sex, she can 100% hear, yeah, me. Like, it didn't even sound like climactic sex. I'm scared, mm-hmm, she can hear me right now. It was just like very basic. And I was like, because I was like, what is the TV on? Like, what is that?
But then there's also something awkward about putting music on so that no one else hears, yeah, you have sex, because then they know you're putting music on to have sex, and that also feels even more cringe. So I feel like the mime route is the way to go. God help us all. We'll be right back. Bad dates.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte. Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
And we're back. Hannah, I want to hear about your worst date. It's called Love is Blind. Can you tell me?
Yeah, this happened a few years ago. I was set up by a coworker because I work digital for Comedy Central, and we had this talk show, and a guy who I work with was like, oh, my friend has been watching the show and he wants to go out with you. And I was like, great. And he was in med school.
Mm-hmm.
And he came down for a show and he was pretty quiet the whole night. And then we went back to my place and he's just sitting on my couch and I'm just
Sorry. A show of yours. He came to watch you do a show.
He was
quiet. What does that mean? As in he didn't like your show.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought something was wrong. I was like, what did I say in that show that he could have been so upset about? So I was in my head, like, I was trying to start a conversation. He just was very quiet. And then he told me that his mom had died 3 months ago and he was still really upset. And I was like, I did, obviously, I felt so bad. I was like, I'm so sorry. Like, I just met him. So I just, and also I was so pissed at my friend I work with. I was like, you couldn't have like given me this heads up. Like,
yeah,
you know, so I didn't know how to be there for him. So I literally just started like sucking his dick. And
perfect. I'm sorry. Yeah, response, I'm sorry.
Right.
Yes.
It was just like awkward. So I just did it.
How does one segue from the tears about one's dead mother to unzipping someone else's trousers?
I mean, there was like a half an hour between.
Right. Good.
No, I think you just do it right away because you don't have to say anything.
you just start like patting the back.
Lower down, put his dick in your mouth. You don't have to respond. You don't have to say anything. You have the perfect excuse.
Yeah, it is more effective than an I'm sorry, because who does an I'm sorry is just the thoughts and prayers. You suck someone's dick, you actually genuinely make them feel better, I guess, about the situation.
I feel like Hannah has really cracked men and their trauma.
100%.
Jack, wouldn't you agree?
What do you think, Jack?
Yeah, well, I was really struggling when the Queen died, and now I come to think of it, had that been on the menu at the time, I think it really could have helped me through that difficult time.
There you go.
Sorry I couldn't be there.
Trousers at half mast to show my respect. And away we go. Lie back and think of England.
Yeah.
Okay, so Hannah, you are sucking his dick.
Yeah. Tears in his eyes, sucking his dick. And he finishes in my mouth. And then I was like really far from the bathroom. So I was like, I'll just spit it into this cup, which I should have swallowed. But
no,
I just, I
wait,
don't.
Why? You don't have to swallow.
Yeah. And at the time, I was really weird about food. So I also was just like, it was just on a diet. So I was like,
it was a calorie thing.
Yeah.
It was a calorie thing. It usually is.
Is sperm keto?
Yeah.
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 It
yeah.
is.
I think
yeah,
it
yeah,
is.
Yeah.
It's got the same enzymes as a pineapple. I think it's really good for you. I've never not swallowed, but go on.
That's a brag.
Okay. That was a bit unnecessary, Catherine. I felt like that was a microaggression towards Hannah. And
I'm just learning a lot about American dating culture. I didn't know that there were people spitting it out. I didn't know this.
Yeah, but we eat street meat at the end of a night in Britain where you've spent far too long, all right? We have different standards.
This is what I'm saying.
Is street meat a euphemism for blowjobs?
No,
it's your street meat. Okay, sorry.
Just a kebab. Hannah. So, okay, so you have...
Spit it into a cup.
You spit it into a cup.
And he was like, is that the cup that had my contacts?
Oh. Oh. I thought it was going to be an... Oh.
Me too.
An urn to his mom?
I thought it was an urn. I thought you'd spat it into the ashes.
No, he's at my house. Sorry, he's at my house.
Oh, thank God. But I mean, not thank God. That's still horrendous. That is still horrendous.
Oh, my God. You spit come into his contact lenses.
And I was like, oh, God. And he goes... Because I knew he had driven down from the Bronx. So I was like, okay. And then he was like, I'm legally blind without them.
No.
So I'm like, oh. And then it's like back to being awkward because I finished sucking his dick and there's no conversation. So he's like, well, I'm going to have to sleep over and then figure out tomorrow how to get my car back up to his school. And I was like, oh, okay. I was like, all right. And then the next day, he's calling his friends, which honestly, it doesn't get less awkward. He doesn't go down on me. Like, he doesn't even finger me. He just goes to sleep. And to be fair, I think he was panicked. I don't know why. Just, he was crying. So he went to sleep. The next day, I'm crying. Like...
And that's why the contact lenses had to come out in the first place.
Yes.
But, I see.
Because otherwise, that's... I thought that's so insulting if you're getting intimate with someone and then their first action is to take out their contact lens. I'm only going to be able to do this if I'm legally blind.
Well, at this point, I hadn't had my lips done yet, so maybe that was it.
Oh, my God. This is so ridiculous.
But I didn't feel like he liked me in any way. And it was like, all right, well, I just sucked your dick. You are sleeping over at my apartment. And then he called his friends the next morning and he needed a ride home. Mm-hmm. So I was like, all right, I'll drive you. back. So I drove him like literally over an hour up to his school. And then he invited me up and I was like, okay, and this is when we're going to have sex. Cause he was hot. This sounds horrible. I was 24 at the time. So maybe 25. So I feel like I wouldn't have put up with this now, but I was like, all right, now maybe he'll go down on me. Now that we're in his apartment, he's feeling more comfortable.
He can see again.
Yeah. We get into his apartment. He's like, do you want an IV?
What? And you and think I'm that's like, a euphemism?
Yeah. I'm like, I'm about to get stuck in the right way.
Wait, and he actually offers you an IV with a
needle. Like a bag. Yeah, with a needle. And I agree because I just don't know how to say no. I don't know how to leave a situation. So I just, and then he makes me a ham sandwich. And the awkward thing is I'm stuck to this IV sitting on his couch. And we're sitting in silence.
Wait, IVs take ages. How long were you sitting there?
2 hours. 2 hours. Wow. We were watching Friends. And yeah, he was like, oh, do you think Friends is funny? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, I don't. And I was like, all right. So then I was like, what's in this IV? Is this man like slowly murdering me? And he makes me a ham sandwich. So then we just don't talk. I just eat the ham sandwich. It was truly just the most awkward. It was just the most awkward dead air. And then
were you watching the one where Chandler ejaculates into Monica's contact lens solution?
I wish you could add some guidance on this one, but no. And then the IV was up and he's like, all right, see you later. And then I have to take the train home because he doesn't offer to give me a ride home. Oh. And I text my friend and I was like, why is your friend? You should have told me your friend was a weirdo. And he was like, in my defense, you are also a weirdo. So
I think if you're legally blind without your contact lenses, then at the very least, you should take a backup pair of spectacles to any kind of overnight situation.
Jack.
Leave them in your car, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yes. Or have your mother drop you off, and then if you do have a similar situation,
his mother dies.
She's always back. Got your backup.
Oh, she's dead.
Lenses.
She's dead. Of course, she is dead.
Well, the worst part
is, of course, how his mother died, which was she went home with something. He came in her contact lenses, and she chose to take the risk and drive.
Okay,
died in an accident. So of course he couldn't let history repeat itself. And if only there had been a blood transfusion available via IV drip when she was hit by that transport truck, it could have saved her.
Okay, before Catherine delves any deeper into her incredibly dark psyche, I'm going to stop you.
That's what happened.
Bad dates.
Guys, thank you so much for these amazing stories. Before you go, I would like to read you one letter that we got from a listener. Is that all right? And tell me any thoughts and give me any questions that come to your minds.
Sure.
This is from Crystal, and she writes, so, I had a date about 20 years ago with a friend of a colleague. I hadn't had sex in 14 months and was a girl in need. The date was going well. We were laughing a lot and clearly attracted to one another. After 3 bottles of red wine, I invited him back. That's a lot of red wine.
Whoa.
I invited him back to my flat. And as we were undressing each other, I asked him if there was anything particular that he liked or wanted me to do. What a lovely lady. Oh, that's nice. I like a question like that. He said he'd love it if I could do a sexy dance for him in heels. I agreed. I grab a pair of brand new shoes in the wardrobe, never worn, and put them on. The shoes are best described as like a wicker basket sort of material with gaps so you can see the skin. Anyway, I'm doing my best to be sexy as I dance. Oh my God, this is actually my nightmare. This is my nightmare that anyone would ever ask me to do this. Anyway, as I dance and gyrate against the wall, and he's visibly excited and stroking himself, he sat on the end of the bed, which is about 2 feet from the wall. I'm dancing against in my small flat. I can see he's getting excited, so just as I'm thinking of straddling him on the edge of the bed, he crouches down at my feet and jizzes on my brand new shoes.
What?
He takes care to ensure that there's a dollop on both shoes and jumps back on the bed in a starfish position. I stare at my shoes for a few seconds before tottering off to the bathroom. My wine head didn't really know what to do in this situation, so I decided to step into the bathtub and use the shower head to rinse the cum off my shoes or feet while still wearing the shoes. I climb out of the bathtub, remove my shoes, leave them in the sink, and as I'm heading back to the bathroom, I can hear snoring. This cunt is sprawled out naked on top of the bed, enjoying a post-cum nap. I was not pleased with this. I said aloud to myself, oh, don't fucking worry about me.
me. This is definitely an English person. I kicked his foot and shouted at him to get out. I threw him out whilst he was still getting dressed and never saw him again. The shoes went out to the communal bin the next morning. Gutted. Oh my God. That's such a stupid story.
I feel like in that situation, you're allowed to take retribution in his shoes. I think that's probably the way you get your revenge.
You take a shit in the shoes.
I think on the cards.
I think you send a Venmo request, but I'm, again, sounding cheap. I would be so angry. Really, if a guy came on both shoes.
Mm.
And you had to throw them away?
Brand new?
Well, yeah, but they were like a wicker basket with gaps in between. I mean, these were not nice shoes. I don't think they sound. What is she talking about?
Yeah. Okay, coming in hot with the Joan Collins fashion police. I fully appreciate it. That's true. Maybe he did. That's true, Catherine, actually. Maybe this man did her a favor.
Like, we're not in Holland anymore. Like, what are you wearing on your feet?
It was a passive-aggressive wank. Give her a hint. The shoes were not working.
Yeah. Guys, thank you so much for coming onto this podcast. Thank you so much for these incredibly silly stories. I love to hear them. And I've loved hanging out. Thank you so
much. Thanks for having us.
Thanks. Jack Whitehall appears in the new season of The After Party on Apple TV+. And Catherine Ryan's podcast is Telling Everybody Everything. It's so good and so funny. She's so special, so cool. And her new special is called Mrs. Available on Sky. Hannah Dickinson hosts the new podcast, Ha Ha Land. And the tickets for her upcoming shows can be found at hannahdickinson.com. Go see it. Bad Dates is produced by Smartless Media and Wondery. Created by Robert Cohen. Executive producers are Robert Cohen and Jamila Jamil. That's me. Produced by Stuart Bailey. Produced, engineered, and edited by Devon Torrey Bryant. Talent producer is Anne Harris. Associate producer is Maddie McCann. Music by Cushy and Eben Schletter. Executive producers are Will Arnett, Jason Bateman, and Sean Hayes. Executive producers for Smartless Media are Richard Coulson and Bernie Kaminsky. If you've had a bad date and you'd like to tell us all about it, our number is 984-265-3283 and our email is baddatespod@gmail.com. We can't wait to hear all about it. That's all for this week. We will see you next time for more Bad Dates. Hello, Prime members. You can listen to Bad Dates early and ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus and Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Hello, I'm Johnny Knoxville.
And I'm Elna Baker, and we have a new podcast. It's called Pretty Sure I Can Fly.
Yep, we've teamed up with my friends and barmates from Smartless to create a podcast where we talk to folks who have more balls in a bowling alley.
People who accomplish something extraordinary despite people telling them that it couldn't or shouldn't be done.
You'll hear stories about the Air Force doctor who buckled into a 600-mile-per-hour rocket sled and became the fastest man on the planet.
And a man who wrestles alligators and sharks for fun.
Do not do this.
You'll hear about a foul-mouthed moonshiner.
Got a 2-inch dick and a 6-inch tongue and knows how to use both of them.
And an even more foul-mouthed female stunt pilot. We got bull riders.
Balloonists.
Bobsledders.
And big wave surfers. People who lay their balls on an anvil and hand the other fella the hammer.
Okay. I bet you've actually done that, Johnny.
Maybe for sweeps. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.